The Epistle reading from Romans. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scriptures say of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their obedience, so also they have now been disobedient, in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our reading from the Hebrew Bible, the book of Genesis. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him and cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will neither be plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. On the east side of our church, Centrum, there is an old stained glass window looking out towards Trinity Presbyterian Church, which used to be the Beth El Congregation Synagogue. It depicts a blue and yellow Star of David. And at the bottom of the glass, there is a plaque with an inscription written by the Beth El congregation when they moved in the spring of the year 2000, leaving us the glass as a token of our special friendship. These are the words of the inscription. To Broadway Baptist Church, from Bethel Congregation, in recognition of 75 years of friendship, cooperation, and respect, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Our friendship is indeed a special one. Their congregation worshiped in this sanctuary, our sanctuary, after the synagogue was devastated by fire in 1949. And even before that, Broadway briefly worshiped in their synagogue while one of our former sanctuaries was being built. And to this day, there is still friendship, cooperation, and respect between Broadway and Bethel and the broader Jewish community, as many of us continue in special relationship with Rabbi Brian Zimmerman, Cantor Sherry Allen, and other Jewish clergy and congregants. We do respect and honor them greatly, which is something you simply cannot do if you think they are somehow all destined for hell. This was a terrible error the Christian church made in its relation to the Jews for many, many centuries. And sadly, it wasn't until the Holocaust that many Christians began to see and to repent of the error of our ways. We must keep on repenting. We Christians must keep on working on our special, strained, tragic, and yet still hopeful relationship with our Jewish siblings. For we both belong to the house of God. The Apostle Paul is wrestling with his relationship with his Jewish brothers and sisters in the epistle lesson this morning. It is true that they did largely reject him. Let us keep in mind, we might have rejected Paul also. He could be a little prickly. Still, though this rejection was painful, costly for Paul in both body and also in spirit, Paul continued to profess God's love for his people. calling them God's people and saying God has not rejected God's people. Or as the old King James Authorized Version puts it, God hath not cast away his people. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, Paul says. And in the depths and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, God is gonna save Israel. We don't have time to read all Paul's argument this morning. But being that you are already planning to spend some time in Bible study this afternoon anyways, go back and read all of chapters 9 and 10 and 11 of the book of Romans. And you'll see there that Paul compares the house of God to a well-rooted olive tree. Some branches of the tree were broken off, he says, and a wild olive shoot, we Gentiles, were grafted in. But he says, lest we Gentiles be too boastful or arrogant about our own belonging, we must remember that it is the root that supports us, not we who support the root. For our roots, even as Gentile Christians, belong to and in the Jewish people, for Jesus was a Jew, and Paul was a Jew, and Abraham and Moses and all of the patriarchs and all of the prophets were all Jews. And to the Jews belong the blessing and the covenant and the promises and the family and the call of God forever. And the call is irrevocable. For God has chosen Israel from the very beginning, and God will not cast away Israel in the end. Now, thus far, I've said nothing that I think would really comfort, disturb, or offend so ecumenically and interfaith-minded a group such as this. After all, we're the ones with the window from our friends, the Jews. But allow me to put a finer and perhaps more personal point on this. What if I told you the argument the Apostle Paul put forward to the Romans about the Jews ought also to be the very same argument put forward to us about the Southern Baptists? And someone says, now he's gone from preaching to meddling. For some of us, this is a prophetic word, perhaps a disturbing and challenging one, a diseasing of any spirit that might make us comfortable in the idea of our separation from any group, including even those who have separated themselves from us or separated us from them. For others of us, this may be a deeply, deeply pastoral word. A word of hope about the possibility of rapprochement with parents and with children and with friends and with neighbors and with people whom we love and cherish and respect, though do most seriously disagree. This was the case for the Apostle Paul. Paul was rejected by his own people because of his beliefs about the Messiah. He was thrown out of their synagogues and he was exiled from the school of Gamaliel. And he had to go and make his way somewhere out there in the wilderness of Arabia. And I could understand if there were bitterness because of all of this. As bitter as that lemon in that children's sermon. And I could understand if there was for him a desire for revenge. For many, a man and a woman would have shut the door and thrown away the key. But Paul could not do that. Paul still loved his people deeply. And he did still pray for them and for their salvation and for their reunion. So too with some, and perhaps many of you. Many of you were essentially shown the door of churches, forced to leave seminaries, driven out from your own families because of your beliefs about Jesus or about yourself. Some of us feel now we are being driven from our very own country because of our understanding of the gospel. There is pain and there is agony in these stories. And there's the salted taste of tears and the fear and the anguish of years upon years of separation and suffering and wandering in the wilderness and wondering if the family could or would or can or will ever come back and be reunited again together. This morning, Paul's story, well, to me, it offers us just a little bit of hope. He gives us, in his own words, hope against hope. And he shows us how even in the midst of pain and of agony and of sorrow, how to act with magnanimity and how to hold fast to consanguinity, which is the sense that we are connected. and how he never for a moment allows us to wish for our kindred to be lost or to be cast out. He prays to God that God will treat his brothers better than they have treated him. There is something, beloved, of the substance of the Christian faith in that hope. And there is something also, I believe, the substance of the Jewish faith as well. We see it clearly in our Hebrew Bible lesson this morning. Joseph's brothers betrayed him. They threw him into a pit. At first, after they came back together, he didn't want to forgive them. He gave them the runaround, if you read the story, all around the Egyptian wilderness. That's because there's no petty like Bible brother petty. But at the end of the day, Joseph knew he could not hold on to that bitterness. That he had to let go. His brothers had repented, and he knew he had to forgive. And at the end of the story, there is that beautiful, beautiful reunion where tears are shed and hugs are given, and the family is put back together again. The family, God's family, is put back together again. I know Paul never saw the same reconciliation with his own Jewish brothers and sisters in his own lifetime. But beloved, I do believe, I really believe that our friendship, cooperation, and respect with Bethel congregation would please him so very deeply. So too, I believe it will please God. It will please God if one day there will be repentance among the Christians for all of the harm that we have done to both Jew and also to Christian alike. We too, on that day, will learn together to say, with true and genuine hearts, to our brothers and sisters and siblings, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. To everyone who belongs in the house of God. For God hath not cast away God's people. And we are all God's people. We're all God's family, whether we like it or not. And we shall find this out. Beloved, in the very end. At a religious political briefing in August 1980, the then president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Bailey Smith, said, "God Almighty does not hear the prayer of a Jew because Jews do not pray in the name of Jesus." This, of course, caused all kinds of consternation across the United States, and it particularly stressed relationships between Baptists and Jews. But I have always loved what that great prophet W.W. Finlater, pastor of Pullen Memorial Baptist Church in Raleigh, did in response. He called over to the local synagogue and he asked them to put his name on their prayer list. I hope some Jew was somewhere praying for Bailey Smith too. And I hope some Christian was also. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one true God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's family say, Amen. Amen.